Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The weeks certainly do fly by, don't they? Here we are, it's the 4th of November 2009, the old year limps toward its sad, sorry end, as is so often the case. In this case, it's a limping to a sad, sorry end because we haven't gotten much of anything done this year. We liberals, we progressives, not for want of trying, but for the mere existence of that apparently terrifying group known as Republicans. Frustrating, ain't it? But it has been, I don't know. It's... Oh, but we did get something done. Oh, we certainly did. That race that was supposed to go to the Republican Party yesterday up in New York's 23rd Congressional District. You know, the congressional district that hadn't elected a Democrat since, the Grant administration. There's going to be a Democrat in that seat now. Yay, teabaggers! Go team! I told you! More teabagging, please! And as predicted, the California 10th race went just as we thought it would. A real, live, honest-to-God liberal in that seat. For the first time in some time. Not some blue dog middle of the roader. So, yeah, we're getting some stuff done. It's a little frustrating watching us still try. God, we should have had health care solved. Well, who am I kidding? Decades ago. Half a century ago or more. But, you know, that's how it works out. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Because, you know, it's... The weeks do fly by. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week already. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, bang, here. And it's a little mind-boggling. The older I get, the faster the days go. I think if one had one of Kurt Vonnegut's Tralfamadorians handy, he might explain it as time being relative. You know, the nearer you are to your relatives, the slower time. No. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. No. But no, it's Wednesday. But it's not just the middle of the week. It's not just hump day. It's not just downhill to Friday. No, no. Brethren and sistren, it is Wednesday. It is prayer meeting night on the horn. Hallelujah, glory, choir master. If you please, brother.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs. And soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest. He'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hallelujah! Amen. Ooh-ee-wah, ting-tang, walla-walla, bing-bang, hut-sut, Ralston on the roller, on the real raw. I love you. Come down the blood-red aisle here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren, fall upon your knees at the altar where sits the great server of rationality. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer attached thereto and feel the rays of common sense shaking you to your bones. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, it is prayer meeting night right here on the horn. Oh, and we've got a grand start for us this evening, brethren and sistren. We have been blessed. Hallelujah. Yes, we have been blessed. We have been blessed by the words of Brother Kenneth Hutcherson. You remember Brother Kenneth Hutcherson, don't you? If you're a fan of the gone but not forgotten and perhaps someday to be resumed strictly confidential right here on the horn, hosted by the world's once and future greatest and onlyest LGBT conversation radio host Peter Godbold, you will remember the stories of Brother Kenneth Hutcherson. It was Brother Kenneth Hutcherson up in America's great Northwest who was encouraging his flock to buy shares of Microsoft stock and donate it to him, Brother Hutcherson, so that he personally, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, could take over the demonically inspired Microsoft and make it a force for Christ in the world and quit giving them same-sex benefits to the working peoples there that are possessed with the demon of Homer's sexuality. Yeah, that Kenneth Hutcherson. Woohoo! Nutbag! Cuckoo! You remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons? Where something just really wacky would happen. Daffy was a character. Something really wacky would happen, and Bugs would hold up a card with a screw on it, and then he'd hold up a card with a ball on it. Yeah, screwball! Yeah. Kenneth Hutcherson is a former NFL player, and apparently, as we now know, one of the big problems with being a player in the NFL is the fact that it is almost impossible to close out an NFL career without just, you know, a whole bushel basket load of traumatic brain injuries that rattles your mind, makes you not think quite so good no more. Apparently, Reverend Kenneth Hutcherson took several blows to the head. But he's about to get some love. He's about to get some serious right-wing love. Because, as noted on Bart Cop's most recent page, he has penned an article, please save your I hate the NFL, I hate all sports emails for later. This is not about sports. He has penned an article called The Vilification of Rush at a website curiously entitled American Thinker. What Kenneth Hutcherson is doing at American Thinker, I don't know. But apparently American Thinker doesn't have much to do with its title, thinking, namely, to wit. Brother Hutcherson writes, liberals would prefer no opposition. Behind the force field, wee-hoo, force field, behind the force field, ow, of political correctness,
There should never be any disagreement once the liberal mind has decided that something is good for society. There can be no opposition to the correct way of thinking, and if you don't think correctly, you are attacked. Those who dare to disagree with liberal orthodoxy are punished sooner or later. Not even someone as powerful as Rush Limbaugh, whose dream of part ownership of the St. Louis Rams was shattered by a particularly insidious species of liberal intolerance, is immune. Poor, powerful Rush Limbaugh. I'm tearing up right now. This is personal to me. Very, very personal. I have watched the news. Well, that makes it personal. As long as you've watched the news, it's plenty personal. I have seen television. Seen it? Seen it? I've seen it too. Oh, my God. I have heard different commentators talk about my friend. Really, Kenneth? I didn't know you were that way. I thought you were supposed to be in that way. Is he your special friend? Just asking. All the while knowing the things they say are lies. I am proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. No, that's not in there. And proud of the United States of America, especially when it broms little brown babies back into the Stone Age. No, that's not in there either. And again, this makes it personal to me.
Reverbo, have you been calling Kenneth Hutcherson? He's making it personal over here. I thought that was our thing.
I not only see Rush Limbaugh and the conservative movement in this action being attacked, but the entire foundation of what made America great.
Which part, Kenneth? The part where a guy like you would not be able to vote if it weren't for liberal democratic policies? That part that made America great? Oh, wait, liberal. Never mind.
Freedom is under attack.
Yeah, especially from those people who want people to go to the doctor.
And we as Americans need to wake up and stop this madness.
Oh, dear God, is it Susan Powder time?
Stop the madness! In the greatest nation ever formed.
You know, if I keep on with this voice, I may get a job with Movie Phone.
In a world where there existed the greatest nation ever formed, a washed-up former not-so-great NFL football player becomes a pastor.
Hey, maybe there's a career.
Let's talk about what seems to have happened to Rush Limbaugh.
Ooh, there's one of those giveaway words, seems to have happened. That would indicate, fiction?
Here is a man who loves professional football almost as much as he loves America's traditions, values, and heritage of liberty.
Wow, if you feel that much about the NFL, you got to step away from the tube and cancel the Sunday ticket for a while because you've got some severely misplaced priorities, but who the hell am I?
Rush has dedicated his life to the study of both football and America.
Okay, Rush, here's a question for you about American football. What happens when you send a trundling puzzle gut across the middle on a crossing route against, say, Troy Polamalu? What happens when that trundling puzzle gut is you, Rush?
Oh, not a good call. He understands America and superbly communicates his understanding with millions every weekday.
My God, if this thing was video, there'd be a money shot.
He understands the game of football and has influenced it positively by being its biggest fan.
What, Edith? Huh?
He understands the game of football? And that makes you a great American? Wow. Easier than I thought. And all this time I thought it meant maybe occasionally delving into the Federalist Papers. Or reading the Constitution instead of thumping on it all the time. or making a study of how we can all reach a greater stage of a state of freedom and equality. Nope. Nope. All you have to do is understand why there's apparently a proliferation of the old single wing in the NFL this year that's being passed off as the wildcat, the fish cat, the cowboy cat, whatever. And there you are. You've got America down. Bonus question. Why did they never really get around to running the wishbone in the NFL with any success? Discuss. Yet Rush has suffered attempts to destroy him with lies, misunderstandings, and a direct effort to eliminate his influence in America. Over the pretext of what? A game? Really? We're trying to destroy him? Somebody's trying to destroy him? Somebody's canceled his credit cards and transferred his bank accounts to another name, and he's living under the bridge somewhere down in outside Palm Beach where they and drinking the screw-top wine? Really? Maybe Kenneth Hutcherson's actually seen the photos of what goes on those all-boys weekends to the Dominican Republic and knows what's out there and could be published. I truly believe that this is brought on by what I call the minority thought pattern. Let's not mince words. We'll have no mincing from you, Kenneth Hutcherson. We know how you feel about that, unless you're a closet case. The minority thought pattern is the total disdain and hatred of what God has accomplished through the white male through history. Kenneth Hutcherson's a black guy, okay? Stockholm Syndrome? Anybody? Just asking. Coming from an African American, I know this will shock you. Nope, won't shock me at all. There were plenty of folks who, after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, did not want to leave the plantation. Just saying. I am not minimizing the accomplishments of women, African Americans, immigrants, the religious, or anyone else who is part of America. But the white male was here on Plymouth Rock for God to use, and the pilgrims had a great belief in that God. You know, I don't know if he's listening or if he'll catch the podcast, but I have a feeling that the minute he hears that sentence, poor Eugene Finnerman, the Internet's greatest satirist, is going to have something right. He may drop his pint of ice cream. The spoon may hit the carpet. The Karen's going to have a fit from the stain, and poor Eugene is just going to sit there going, let's do that again. I am not minimizing the accomplishments of women, African Americans, immigrants, the religious, or anyone else who is part of America, but the white male was here on Plymouth Rock for God to use, and the pilgrims had a great belief in that God. The white male? Just one of them? Right there on Plymouth Rock? One? No white women? No Indians? No story of Squanto? No, hey, dumbass, put the fish head in with the corn and the beans and that'll actually grow and you'll quit starving because you people don't have the first freaking clue about how to farm, but you were sent to a new continent? No, none of that? The white male was on Plymouth Rock for God to use. You know, I'm not going there, but just in that phrase alone, there's something dirty sounding about it, don't you think? Oh, and by the way, I am not minimizing the accomplishments of women. Okay, they're not white males. African Americans. Okay, not white males. Immigrants. Immigrants? Immigrants aren't white males? Damn. The religious. No white males in the religious movement or anyone else who's part of America. The nation built out of their efforts. This is that white male on Plymouth Rock. The nation built out of their efforts, reflecting their values. He's gone from being a white male to a bunch of white males now, apparently. Subject-verb agreement, Kenneth Hutcherson. You might want to study it, or maybe you lost it in one of those traumatic brain injuries in the NFL. I'm not sure. Most especially their religious values has become the light of liberty for the world and an obstacle to those power-hungry individuals who hate it. Okay. Just got to get through this. Just say that to help me here. Just
just say, Bob, just got to get through this. Just got to get this. I'm taking a deep breath. Yeah. Taking a deep breath, going to my happy place. Mm-hmm. There she is, over there. Yep. Agnes, lingerie, mug of beer. Yep, happy place. It is critical to understand that not only minorities, but also many whites of both sexes have embraced the minority thought pattern. And every time it appears in this article, by the way, minority thought pattern is in italics. You know, to suggest that it's, I don't know, magical or special or, I mean, it's not a URL or anything. They didn't link to, you know, how you can get the minority thought pattern or anything. You see, the minorities in this world, stop, enough. The minorities in this world. Somebody get a note to Kenneth Hutcherson and explain to him that a whole lot more of the world is the same color as him, or shading variations on same, than are, to Baudelaireize, I suppose, a famous book title, Pink Like Me. I just happen to acknowledge it. You see, the minorities in this world do not have the power or the financial backing to accomplish the destruction of the great I think there's going to be tequila involved before I'm done with this. Again, you see, the minorities in this world do not have the power or the financial backing to accomplish the destruction of the great Judeo-Christian values that are the foundation of America's greatness. What do you do with that? I mean, there's not a nickel's worth of history in it. And there's not a penny's worth of fact. I suppose you could say there's some truth in it because truth is fluid and that's his truth. You know, after all, this guy believes in an invisible juvenile delinquent up in the sky who smites people. But is apparently laying down on the job. Spike Lee, he says, attempts to change history by criticizing Clint Eastwood for not using black people in his movie about the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, when in fact there were no black people at Iwo Jima. Wait a minute. I think this is something that we jokingly referred to about a professor once upon a time as a case of bootstrapping the hardball. Clint, I thought this was about Rush Limbaugh. But now it's apparently a cross made for two and what? And Spike Lee, of course, is evil. Yeah, he's a Lakers fan, too, or something, I imagine. Kenneth Hutcherson's probably a Sonics fan. But yeah. Who am I? The minority thought pattern, italics again, is the fuel for minorities. It's what minorities crave. It's got electrolytes. And especially African Americans, to attack the very fabric that has given them the greatest opportunity. I thought we were talking about white males here. Now we're into, what, muslins and ginghams and the calicos? Fabrics? The fabric that has given them the greatest opportunity to accomplish anything they so desire, including the opportunity for a people of slavery to rise and put a slave's descendants into the White House. He adds in parentheses, I'm still trying to figure out what faction of his ancestry descended from slaves. Oh, he's not slave enough to suit Kenneth Hutcherson. No mention in that paragraph about who did the original enslaving in the first place. Arabs, Muslims, is Muslims, Arabs, you know. Yeah, that's the, mm-hmm. The Dutch were just sailing along the African coast one day, and the Portuguese, and yeah, just taking a Sunday cruise out and looked over on the Ivory Coast, and there's a bunch of guys in turbans saying, hey, look here, you want to buy some people? It was Arabs. The minority thought pattern is aimed at destroying America. At rending the very fabric, now we're on to velvet, silks, and satins, I suppose, that makes America great. The minority thought pattern denies the greatness, honor, bravery, courage, humility, and sacrifice that has brought us the power to be the greatest nation that has ever existed. You know, this would be a hell of a lot easier for me if I could just have a copy of the minority thought pattern. But then again, if there was a link to the minority thought pattern, it would probably be by Kenneth Hutcherson and, you know, back down the rabbit hole. No, it doesn't, assuming it exists. No, it doesn't. It's simply, I think what Mr. Hutcherson has his pads in a wad about is the fact that there is now a movement afoot to acknowledge that someone besides Whitey helped build this country. You know, the first peoples who were here come to mind, before we committed genocide against them. Really, the dumbasses on the Puritans, who apparently came to the New World filled with that old Joe Hill line about live on hay day by day, there will be pie in the sky when you die. They were all about that. They were just going to sit there on Plymouth Rock. I don't know how big the rock is. It's rather small, just a little plaque. Just going to sit there on Plymouth Rock and pray and starve. Anybody going to bring us any food? Nope, going to have to work for that. God will provide! The minority thought pattern has a mission. To undermine and redefine every characteristic of America, maintaining that it is a nation based on greed, cowardice, selfishness, and lack of genuine humility. Greed? Wait a minute. I thought we were all free market and capitalist. I thought greed was good. I seem to recall hearing some right-wing gas bag, maybe Neil Bortz, babbling along about that at one point in time. Cowardice? Well, you know, when you kill off the native population with disease, when you commit genocides because there are fewer of you than there are of them and you're afraid that you've behaved so rottenly that they're just going to run you right off the continent, I did hazard a guess that there's probably just a little teensy bit of cowardice involved in that process. But, you know, don't anybody tell Kenneth Hutcherson. Selfishness. See capitalism above. Lack of genuine humility. Hell, it wasn't 2 days ago that we were I was reading some wingnut talking about American exceptionalism and how them liberals don't believe in American exceptionalism. Excuse me, but isn't the very idea of American exceptionalism antithetical to genuine humility? The minority thought pattern is the reason for all the apologies to the rest of the world for how bad American is. That's what it says, how bad American is. Coming even from our top leader. The word is president, Mr. Hutcherson, Reverend Hutcherson, Pastor Hutcherson, Bigot Hutcherson. The word is president, our president. It's okay, work with me here, you can say it. President. I know the brain injuries are tough, but work with president, not our leader. Sheesh. The problem that America has always had is the lack of understanding of what a conquering nation does. Conquers? Just a guess? When a nation conquers another, it always forces the conquered to assimilate into the conqueror's culture and ways. We as Americans have always been the great melting pot of society in the world. We want everyone to become just like us. But it's hard for everybody to come just like us when just like us is rather a fluidly defined term, isn't it? The minority thought pattern now wants a 19-burner stove with every pot. Huh? When did this become a cooking show? A little early for food porn tonight, isn't it? The minority thought pattern now... Oh, he's talking about the great melting pot of society. I'm sorry, I'm a little osley on the uptake. The minority thought pattern now wants a 19-burner stove with every pot separate and different. And that has given us multiculturalism today. Multiculturalism in its present form has already proven unworkable. Remember in the South the fight between blacks and whites with the concept of separate but equal? Oh, that was multiculturalism. Blacks realize that being separate but equal is not equality at all. Those separate pots are no different? Hmm? Doesn't I'm not even sure that multiculturalism exists. I just kind of live in a world where I see a human being and, you know, maybe maybe the folds of their eyes are genetically different from mine, or maybe their skin is darker, because very few people have skin lighter than mine, short of, you know, Johnny and Edgar Winter. Maybe their hair is a different color or of a different consistency. But, you know, silly me, I just see a person. Kenneth Hutcherson is still seeing all those different people and wishing he was only seeing Whitey. That's what it boils down to. Separate but equal is not equality at all. Those separate pots are no different. Multiculturalism doesn't say that we've got 19 separate pots. This guy's a blithering idiot. He's a moron. Oh, Peter Godbold, how grateful I am to you for putting me onto this freak so long ago. I saw this article linked over at BartCop.com today, and I clicked and I saw Kenneth Hutcherson, and it took a minute. I went, Kenneth Hutcherson, holy crap, the Microsoft stock guy. Who in this modern America decide what is right and wrong, what is politically correct or not? Bill Gates, Warren Buffett? See, what did I say? Bill Gates is at the top of the list. George Soros comes in third. MoveOn.org, the NFL, the Players Association, and the liberal thinkers and media? I ask, who are the bigots here? The minority thought pattern is the great supporter of ignorant intellectualism. It is the foundation that destroys common sense. It goes on. And I don't know what Kenneth Hutcherson expects to get out of this. Well, he's a preacher. He expects to get donations for his brave stance against the minority thought pattern. He says, you know, this is a classic example of the minority thought pattern at work. He said, we got an entire column here where he keeps referring to something he refuses to define. This is a classic example of the minority thought pattern at work, commingling guilty and fearful whites with a sense of rage and grievance from minorities. As a result, the game that both Rush and I love has suffered. An American institution founded by whites but open to and heavily populated by blacks today is harmed. Founded by whites, played by whites. And I know there's a lot of fiction in it, but if you note a movie of last year called The Express, it's the story of Ernie Davis and his sojourn at Syracuse. Died of cancer at an early age after bringing the first Heisman Trophy to Syracuse University. There's some fictional stuff there, but there is some truth, too. There was real nastiness in Whitey Ball whenever a person of color played away from his home stadium. Witness the Cotton Bowl in which Ernie Davis played. Because, you see, had it not been for a liberal outcry and liberal moves toward inclusion, there would have been no breaking of the color barrier in baseball, or in football, or basketball. We're still waiting on hockey. I kid. But I've had great sport with this clown. But he is the very essence of what's wrong. He and his ilk are those who are clawing with their fingers digging into the dirt and their backs set and their heels dug in as the 21st century proceeds apace and they desperately cling to the 18th. Remember, this was all written about the fact that poor little multimillionaire Rush doesn't get to own a football team. And the thesis is that it's some sort of indicia of a larger problem, when in fact, the indicia of the large, there is no larger problem. Never mind the fact that Rush Limbaugh spews hate. There's all kinds of hate-filled, crazy, rich white people owning football teams. But there is a legal test that Rush couldn't pass. And he is more than happy to see all of this about all of that because it gets away from the fact that the NFL simply will not allow a street drug addict, recovering or otherwise, to be a team owner. The NFL will not allow a doctor shopper to be a team owner. There are minimum standards of conduct involved in owning an NFL franchise. Hell, for all I know, I might not be able to own an NFL franchise. I might not be sufficiently moral. I might not be as moral as Jerry Jones, for God's sakes. But there are standards, and low though they may be, Flush Flimball could not meet them. Because at the end of the day, it's not about football. It's about the fact that Rush is a crook. He's a drug criminal. Now, you and I probably hold the same views about drug crimes, but in the world, in this nation, as it exists today, Rush is a drug criminal. And given all the problems with all the multifarious forms of drugs that the NFL has to deal with, they simply cannot have a drug criminal in their ownership. But that's okay. Kenneth Hutcherson has a larger agenda to push, and he will happily put Flush Flimball's lard ass in a little red wagon and drag it around the internet in hopes that he can create the false impression that there is some sort of liberal racist plot to tear apart America that he perceives based upon the fact that not everyone believes like him. And hence, the biggest part of everything that I despise about fundamentalists and their nasty, organized religion. Amazing. So that's where we begin prayer meeting tonight. Now, it ain't going to be all prayer meeting. We've got some leftover morans from Monday, but you know how it is with right-wing morans, atne ute aitbre, if you one what I eme. Little on the slow side. So they saved their moranness. They saved their moranness a couple of days late, and I don't want to save them for next Monday. Because, among other things, I won't be here. going to be on the road. So, yeah, that's how that... I've got a meeting in Kentucky that I have to attend like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So, no shows those days. Sorry, but that's how it works out. But nonetheless, get involved in the program tonight if you wish. You know how to reach the program, of course. Toll free, it's 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to save us a nickel or a buck and don't want to do the toll-free thing, you can always reach us at 304-658-3333. Light them up. We got some dandy good conversation ahead, I suspect. Heck, if you can't get good conversation started with the likes of Kenneth Hutcherson, you're kind of in a hole as far as I'm concerned. A little bit longer bumper than usual, but in light of all this business about the minority derangement syndrome that is set out to rip America apart, this seems more than appropriate. Enjoy. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Bill Horn and John was a dirt farmer man, and he worked every day of his life. Well, the dust blew up and the bank shut him down, and he heard about a Jubilee trade. Heard about a Jubilee trade. Broadway, and he was an uptown man, and he never worked a day in his life. But the stocks crashed down and left him out in the cold when he heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. You can see the man in the Hoover Valley, hear the poor women cry. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Get on board, there's a new deal coming. Heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. Betty Jean was a factory girl. She never had another job in her life. Well, the factory closed down and she was walking the streets. She heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. Hometown Jimmy was a family man. His mother, children, and his wife. The business fell off and he lined up for bread. And he heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. In the Hoover Valley.
So folks back east, they say he'll leave at home every day, heading that old dusty trail for the California line. But across the desert sands, they roll goodnight of that old dust bowl. Think they're coming to the sugar bowl, but there's what they find. Well, the police at the port of entry say that your number 40,000 for today. You ain't got that do-re-mi-fo. You ain't got that do-re-mi. Well, you better get back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California's a garden of Eden. It's a paradise to live in or stay. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi. Well, I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California on my mind. Straddled that Greyhound Road and into Raleigh and on across Carolina. Bypass Charlotte, we stopped in Rockville, it never was a minute late. We were 90 miles out of Atlanta by sundown, rolled across the Georgia state. Ran into some trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. And that hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Right away I popped me a through train ticket right across Mississippi Creek. And I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham, smoking into New Orleans. By years ago, waiting on the Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. You can see the men in the Hoover Bay, headed forward and cry. Get on board and the nuke is coming. Get on board and the nuke is coming. Heard about a Jubilee train. Heard about a Jubilee train. We'll be right back.
You know, when you wade into the swamp, the filthy, nasty, dirty swamp of the right-wing religion industry, you just need something to help you get clean. And that is what that was for. That was therapy, whether you realize it or not. That was therapy. That was Dave Allen and the Guilty Men. And just a brilliant, straightforward rock and roll medley that's... You need something like that to get you clean after Kenneth Hutcherson. I'm all shook up. I heard that for the first time last night through the kind offices of resident musicologist David in Tennessee. And just to give you a sense for, every now and then David sends things along and says, listen to this now. And I know when David sends it along and says, listen to this now, that I got it. Because he's not going to send me any, he's never sent anything iffy. And so I did, and I was just blown away by it, and I thought, you know, I'm going to use that in the show one of these days. That's got to happen. It's a little long, but man, it just deserves its spot. Just to give you an idea of how things shake out, I had no idea I was going to use that tonight. Because I hadn't seen the Kenneth Hutcherson story yet. And even after I read the Kenneth Hutcherson opinion piece at AmericanNotMuchOfAThinker.com, it still didn't dawn on me. But then going through that thing, as I started to read all that palaver about what America is and ain't and where it came from and how about one white male, one pilgrim at Plymouth Rock, and I thought, you know what? I know exactly what's gonna come after this story. Because there's no way that it can't. Because there's an America inside that music that Kenneth Hutcherson not only will never know, but lives in mortal terror of, he said, hanging a preposition at the end of his sentence that has no business there. But seriously, Kenneth Hutcherson doesn't know anything about America. All he knows about is his weird fundamentalist sickness. And that's it. So I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Dave Alvin also, for those of you who go back that far, you may also remember a band called The Blasters. And I do, because that was back when I still was paying attention to current music. Now, if I pay attention to current music, I hear something by someone who calls herself Lady Gaga, singing about papa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-rot-rot-rot-rot-rotsies. And I don't mean to, oh, dear God, I just had a geezer moment, didn't I? But I don't have any space in my world for that. That I got space in my world for. So let's go to the phones and see what's shaking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Hey, it's Michael. I didn't think I'd get through so quick.
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I was actually on my way to go buy some groceries, but I pulled into the parking lot and I had to call you first after that Kenneth Hutcherson story.
Yeah, doesn't it scream at will, but preferably not in a moving vehicle that you're operating.
Yeah, no, I'm in a fully parked position right now. I was dialing, so I missed a few minutes, or, you know, a few seconds there, but I just caught the end of that geezer moment. Without getting into it, I can just tell you there's a lot of quality. I know John Fox doesn't think so, but in my opinion, there's a lot of good music out there, current music.
Oh, there's tons of it. You just have to, you have to have the dedication of a 1920s Egyptian archaeologist to find it.
Well, yeah, to an extent. I don't know. I don't even know what. Sounds like you've heard more Lady Gaga than I have.
I've heard three songs.
I don't think I've heard...
I know she doesn't wear pants.
Okay, I don't know. I've heard of her, obviously, just because I, you know, live in America, but I don't, to my knowledge, I've not heard of her.
I live in America. I can't help but know who Lady Gaga is.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff out there. Trust me. But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. What I called about was just that Kevin Hutcherson. I wish he could have read that article in a different voice, because I kept hearing his words, and the voice I had in my head was. Oh, by the way, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you fine.
Okay. Have you ever seen The Boondocks?
Yes.
On Adult Swim?
Yes. Or, yes.
Yeah, great show. I don't watch a lot of TV, but, you know, when I am watching TV, I'm either screaming at the news or watching Adult Swim, probably too much Adult Swim for my own good, but The Boondocks is one of their most quality programs. Anyway, there's this character on there. I can't think of his name, but sometimes he plays chess with the granddad character, and he's an African American gentleman, and he kind of looks like he's got some kind of traumatic brain injury. Like he has one giant bug eye and another.
I know the character. Yeah, and I don't know his name either. I bet you David from Maine does though.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking that. I'm sure David from Maine knows the name. I'd look it up, but like I said, I'm sitting in my car. But anyway, he's always he's a black man as far as appearance goes, but he's always getting into arguments, especially with the granddad character, because he's always praising Whitey. You know what I mean? I'm probably gonna butcher it, but just for people who don't watch the show, just to paraphrase something that he said in an episode that they showed last Friday. This is the kind of thing the character says. Hold on one second. Let me try to muster it up here. Okay, he'll say stuff like. Now, if there's one thing a black man can do, or no, he always says colored.
Right.
Calls him colored.
That's true.
Yeah. If there's one thing a colored man can do well, it's fry up a plate of pig guts. Now I'm not saying that a white man couldn't do it better, but historically the white man's always had more important things to do, like going to the moon and spreading democracy. I probably completely butchered it, but that'll give you a sense of the character.
No, I know. I've watched. That's, yeah.
Yeah. And the whole time you were reading the Kevin Hutcherson thing, I had that I was trying to replace your voice with that character's voice, and it just matched perfectly. I don't know. Somebody's got...
That's a little more courage than I have. I couldn't be comfortable doing that. No.
Well, somebody's got to clue. Somebody's got to suggest to Aaron Magruder. He's got to do an episode about the whole Rush Limbaugh thing. It's probably already in the works. But you know what I mean? The whole Rush Limbaugh NFL thing and throwing a little Kevin Hutcherson for good measure. Or just have the character that I can't think of the name of. He can play the Kevin Hutcherson role and apologize, and make excuses for Rush. But anyway, one other thing before I get off here and let some other people on. It's kind of unusual for me to talk about TV. Like I said, I watch the news and scream at it. I watch a little bit too much Adult Swim, but other than that, I never really follow any of the primetime series on, all the Alphabet Soup networks.
Right.
I just haven't for years. I always, at work, sometimes go out to lunch with people, and they're always talking about,
Well, I guess, well, and a classic case in point, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I saw this referenced over at BartCop.com today. I guess the new series that's, you know, new maybe to people born since 1990, V on ABC.
Stop. That's what I was going to say, Bob. Just stop. I want to, let me.
No, because there's this. Well, no, there's this thing in there, Michael, where, did you see the Bart Cop page too?
No, I didn't, Bob, but hold on. That's where I was going. Oh my God. One of us is psychic. I'm not sure which one.
I'm psychotic.
If you watch V, you'll be psychotic. That's exactly what I was going to say. Tell me what Bart Cop's take is in a minute, but here, just let me tell you my impression, okay? Like I said, I don't watch any of these series, but my mom, you know, knows that I like sci-fi, and they must have been advertising the hell out of V, because the last time my mom sent me an email and asked, you know, said, oh, you might want to watch this thing on TV, it was, when Brett Favre was playing the Packers, not this past Sunday, but on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago. So, my mom said, oh, you might want to check out V. I don't even think she realized until I told her that it was a remake. But she probably...
Well, yeah, and here, let me ruin it for everybody.
No.
The V people?
Because I watched it, Bob.
Oh, okay. Do you know how it works?
Yeah, I know. Well, hold on. My mom said, you know, this show looks interesting. It's about an alien invasion, blah, 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 new show premiering. And, I got home from, voting last night, and I already missed, you know, half of your show, so I figured I'd just do the podcast thing anyway. So at 8 o'clock, I took the bait. I was like, all right, what the heck, you know, that'll give me something to talk about next time I see my, parents, you know, if they're gonna watch V, I'll watch V. So I watched the premiere of V. Probably the first time I've watched a premiere of anything on the Alphabet Soup Networks in decades. It was so, unless I'm being paranoid, it was so much right-wing propaganda. It was just ridiculous. Is that what Bart Cop is talking
about?
Bart
Cop said that he understood that they were going to say that the aliens came and gave everybody health care.
Universal health care. Bob, in the show, I'm not joking with you. They used the exact phrase, universal health care. That's what the V's. You know, these aliens, no one really knows, you know, who are they, but where do they really come from? Who are they really, you know, do they have birth certificates, you know, all that kind of thing. Here was my impression. This is just my honest impression. I watched it with no expectations, not having had so much as seen a preview for it. I sat down, I watched it. Not 5 minutes into the program, they're already talking about when the aliens came, all the terrorist chatter dropped off, except for this one particular sleeper cell. Anytime some kind of TV program starts talking about terrorists and sleeper cells, that always already kind of just sort of sets some bells off in my head. And basically, I'm going to ruin it for everybody, so if you give a crap about the remake of the Series V, you have one, two, three, seven. Okay, now I'm going to say it, so if you haven't tuned out by now, I'm going to spoil it for you. Basically, the aliens came. This is the first episode, but they've been here already undercover, and there's a sleeper cell of terrorists that are really the V's, the aliens. And then the V's have this, you know, very charismatic, attractive-looking spokesperson who uses words like hope, and change, and says things that sound like they're directly quoted from Obama speeches about, you know, how change is always hard to, you know, adjust to in the beginning, blah, blah, blah. And in one part of the episode, the leader of the V's, the aliens, was doing an interview with a reporter, and she had asked the reporter ahead of time, not to ask any questions that'll make her look bad or make the aliens look bad. And, anyway, and the reporter, for the sake of his career, decided to go along with that. And in the course of the interview, the alien leader revealed that they were going to provide universal health care. So you've already, in the first episode, you've already tied the V's to terrorist cells and universal health care. And wasn't it just like a week ago that some right-wing congresswoman was talking about how the only thing more dangerous...
Oh, that was this week. That's our pal Virginia Fox, the representative from Mayberry.
Right. The only thing more dangerous than terrorists is this universal health care that the Democrats are trying to push through. So, now obviously this was filmed and edited before Virginia Fox said that, but... And then the other thing is, you know, I sent my parents a real brief email towards the end of the show while I was still watching it, and I said, I don't know about you guys, but this show seems like right-wing propaganda to me. It's already in the first episode tied terrorists to universal health care, and the V's speak of hope and change, and literally in the show attract the young people most fervently to be sympathetic to their cause. And then you have small groups of protesters who everybody thinks are crazy, who are
teabaggers
projecting. Yeah, basically you have teabaggers in the show, and you know, everybody thinks they're nuts, but you can already tell they're going to be made out to be the heroes, these anti-alien, you know, just flip
the... Oh, it's just working it all. It's just a whole soup, isn't it?
It was just a whole soup. They shouldn't even have just... I know it's a remake, and I honestly don't remember the original series that well, because I was very young. I was like maybe 8 years old.
They're lizards.
Yeah, I remember they're lizards, and I remember it was sort of a soap opera about, you know, somebody's going to
have
a lizard.
More lizard people from outer space, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same guy that Captain Kirk fought on the alien planet when he made an obsidian knife, and yeah.
Right, right. And then, you know, I haven't done a lot of research on it, but I, you know, after I watched the show and sort of had formed my own opinion on it, I kind of, you know, Googled, you know, is V right-wing propaganda? And I found a thread on Democratic Underground that was where people were sort of debating that point. Just based on a trailer, a preview for it. So the, you know, the thread is probably a couple weeks old, but I haven't had a chance to see what, you know, any current blogging is saying about it. But man, it was just, I'm kind of curious to see how far they'll take it. But I don't think I can stomach, you know, watching it anymore. They had the whole soup in there. It was just disgusting.
Well, you know, I saw that. Lord knows you couldn't watch a football game on ABC, a college football game, without constantly being bombarded by promos for that thing. And so, I was more than a little bit suspicious. You know,
I don't watch the right stuff on TV to have seen promos for it, but.
Well, first of all, it's a pretty young white woman with short hair. Okay? Not the long, luxurious tresses that we associate with glamour, but, so there was something about that that went, eh, yeah, signal, you know, not because of my responses, but because I know how, the things like the Mouse Network like to manipulate images. And then, you know, just generally the fact that, you know, oh, here we go, the aliens are back. And then I read that on Bart Cop, and you know, there was the mention of universal health care, and it's like, oh, Jesus, really? And now you're just confirming my suspicions.
Yeah, I mean...
And at some point in time, we will have sneaky secret footage of the pretty girl with the short hair eating a rat.
Yeah, I mean, when they used the word, I mean, they were already throwing around, you know, the buzzwords hope and change and terrorist sleeper cells and all this kind of stuff. But when they used the phrase universal health care, I don't know that I can ever remember hearing the phrase universal health care in science fiction. You know, I mean, I'm sure it's appeared, but, you know, this is just right out of the gates in the
little in your face, in other words?
In the premiere, you know what I mean? Yeah, in the premiere, in the debut episode. And, yeah, it was just, it's like, come on, I don't know, ABC or whoever put this piece of crap together, it's just like, they weren't even subtle about it. It was just really sick. They should have just called it O instead of V.
O?
Oh, like, you know, like Obama.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of Oprah.
Yeah.
You know, she owns that letter.
Oh, yeah, I forgot she owns that letter. But,
I mean, they can't even do letter O on Sesame Street without her permission anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. It was just, I just had to tell somebody about it because it was just like, I can understand why I don't watch much, you know, on the Alphabet Soup Network. I didn't even realize this until I started reading this thread. After I watched the show, I started reading this thread, Democratic Underground. They're talking about some of the other series that have been on ABC in the last couple years, and I guess they had one called Homeland Security.
Oh, what it boils down to is ABC is desperate to find themselves a 24.
Yeah, I've never even seen one episode of that.
Nor I. I kind of refuse. I think more of myself than to do that.
I think I kind of get what it's about just because, like, I've seen the, you know, the Daily Show and whatnot, satirize it, but, you know, with the multiple things going on at the same time, you know what I mean, with the picture, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's in real time or whatever, and I don't know. I think I kind of get it, even though I've never seen it, but, sorry, go ahead.
No. That's no. I think you're spot on. I mean, you do get it. So, but you know, do we really? But look, you know, we're leading up to a midterm election a year from now, and consequently, the people must be manipulated. And you know, this isn't just some stupid TV show. This is a media event. I mean, I've seen it written. The much heralded media event of the year is coming. V premieres on a. You know, Jesus, this thing was a much-heralded media event. It was V on NBC, what, 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you know, it's an alien movie. And of course, aliens. We're going to have to reinforce that word after busting our asses to get illegal alien out of the lexicon. Well, ABC, the Mouse Network, you know, the right-wing bastards that own that. They're going to make sure that it comes back into the lexicon. And secondarily, you know, you're a science fiction fan, Michael, so you know that being a science fiction movie, one of two things is going to be obtained. Either the aliens are sweet and good like E.T., or they're mean and evil like Alien. You know, that one.
Well, that's the thing.
What this tries to do is they come on very, very sweet and sugary, but then the next thing you know, you find out they're lizards.
Right, and they I'm not kidding, people. It was just like beat you over the head, obvious. Literally, I know I said it already, but if you haven't seen it, it's just so disgusting. The aliens come, they use words like hope and change. And all the young people flock to their, you know, their message and their cause. And then, you know, a lot of the older people do too, but are a little bit more suspicious. And they promise, and the V's promise universal health care. They say universal health care. They say that phrase. And you find out that, there's a terrorist sleeper cell that's associated with the V's.
Oh, and we've got confirmation here. David in Tennessee just writing in, Michael, to say there is no question that V is another propaganda show. 24 is cooling off, and this came before I said anything about 24. I just hadn't got to it yet. 24 is cooling off, and the terror over terrorists has cooled off a bit as a hot button. So the ugly right needs a new vehicle, David says. And he says, and by the way, one of the V thingies has already been camered eyeing a cat, dislocating its jaw, and swallowing said cat. You know, me, I'm a purist. I go in for the day the earth stood still.
Yeah.
You know, I go in for, you know, who was that? Klaatu? I go in for the old good stuff. I mean, does anybody remember To Serve Man? Because this is all that is. This is just a variation on To Serve Man.
Yeah, The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, and The Twilight Zone was based on a show, although it's, I remember seeing it, and I don't think it's credited in the credits. That Twilight Zone episode was based on a short story by an absolutely brilliant science fiction writer of not great length, but had a great sense of humor and just really, really good. And it was the name of the author is C.M. Cornbluth. And it's the same story, and then it shows up in the Twilight Zone, and again, it's the same theme. Oh, look. And all they're doing, you know, if I was C.M. Cornbluth's estate or maybe Rod Serling's, I'd sue these bastards at ABC's. At ABC for, digital millennium copyright little toenail act privacy violate. You know, use that crap against them.
Yeah,
because this is nothing but a deadlift of To Serve Man.
But I mean, they fill with all the buzzwords and, you know, and they twist it and they mold it, you know, to fit the times and then take what I consider, frankly, you know, an illegitimate position. And, you know, it's obviously supposed to be allegory, and it's not even subtle about it. And what really gets me is you can tell they're going to make heroes out of these small groups of protesters who are very skeptical of the V's. You know, and want to see their birth certificates, and you know, we got to get these aliens out of here. And
yeah, exactly.
The show's going to make heroes out of teabaggers.
Oh, by the way, I'm hearing from David in Maine that the Boondocks character to whom you were referring is Uncle Rufus.
Uncle Rufus, yes. What was it, Kenneth Hutcherson?
Yes, Kenneth Hutcherson as Uncle Rufus.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'll let you go, Bob. After I saw V, I was just like, my God, no wonder I don't watch this crap. This is horrible.
And Marty just added this, the beautiful young woman in V is Marina Baccarin from Firefly, and he says she looks better with long hair. But Marty also says, I haven't seen the new V yet. I did download it from iTunes Store. It's a free download. Actually, this new V sounds a lot like the movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen and Ron Silver, only the aliens already on Earth are causing warming in the atmosphere. The original series, by the way, the original V, Marty says, was more of a contemporary version of It Couldn't Happen Here, referring naturally to the Nazi allegory of how society had fallen for the oppression in the new guise of friendship.
Right.
And you know what? That may have kind of worked then, if you think about the time frame, because we were sort of Nazifying ourselves under Ronald Reagan and so forth.
Sure.
But now it can't help but be a ham-fisted pay-on to the teabaggers. I mean, that's just me. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a hoot, Bob. I mean, if you want to, I don't know, if you want to make yourself throw up or something, just see if you can catch the Premiere V on YouTube. I don't know.
If it's a free download at the iTunes Store, maybe I can go and watch it there or something. But
I don't know. It's just, oh, God.
Yeah.
So what else is new?
I know. Another day with the for-profit media. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Well, someday we'll start making our own content. Oh, wait, we already are.
Thank God for that.
Hey, Michael, thanks so much, and thanks for pulling over and making the call.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and people, keep those contributions coming in. And I want to thank everybody who helped meet my challenge. What was it, a week and a half ago? Appreciate it.
It was a great moment of showing what can happen.
I got the.
And I really appreciate you stepping up and doing it.
I got the privilege and honor to fork over a little of my dough because 10 other listeners decided to fork over a little of theirs to help keep the horn going, and I appreciate it greatly. Thank you.
As do we. Michael, thank you very much, and have yourself a great evening. Happy grocery shopping.
You too, Bob. Oh, yeah, I still got to do that.
Yeah, get something yummy.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Kid A from the chat room, that's Michael in Ohio, and we roll on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
But she couldn't have long hair, and she couldn't have blonde hair because then she'd be a right winger.
There is that.
Yeah.
Well, and you know that's what it is. All those feminists. That's what I mean. All those feminists. They got that short hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are blonde.
Yeah. Gotta. But you gotta work with all the prejudices.
Yeah. When Bush was in office and after 9/11, didn't they have Hollywood writers to write all kind of outlines of?
Yes, they did.
You know, you never know where this came from. You know, it does sound very suspicious, doesn't it?
Well, I really do think it's ABC's attempt to find something to cash in on with the fading glory of 24.
Yeah. I watched 24 the first season, and I quit watching it because it was on odd times, and I just said, oh, heck with it. But you were talking about this Hutcherson guy, is that his name?
Yeah, Kenneth Hutcherson.
I never had heard of him, but I looked him up on the internet and I found a great site about him that talks about him, and it's, it's funny the name of it. Let me see. To let them sleep in the street and die.
What?
And starve. Let them sleep on the streets and starve. This is, guess where I found this? That was the first thing. Agnosticism, atheism.
Okay.
But he said, our Savior died to keep us off the cross. I don't think he'd be satisfied keeping us in tents. I think the Bible gives it to us straight. If you don't work, you don't eat. We're supposed to give hands up, not hands out, to the point of letting people stay the way they are.
You know, I don't remember Jesus. I don't remember that passage in Luke where Jesus asked to see the blind man's W-2 form before he heals the blindness.
Well,
you working, son?
Jesus didn't say that, but your favorite person did.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's out of the Kenneth Hagee school of hatred. You remember about that? Starve! Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember. But there was a couple of responses to that. Where this guy says, the opportunities in America are plentiful if you really want work, and food is always available if you work for it, and even if you don't work for it. In fact, there are way too many overweight people. Expecting homeless people to work is not unreasonable, If they're truly mentally ill, that's another issue, and it's truly a problem. But the majority of homeless people just want to remain homeless and do what they want to do, drugs, booze, et cetera, not work.
Yes, as Pastor Hagee said, they want to rest on their blessed assurance.
Well, he's got a big blessed assurance to rest on.
He's blessed assurance from head to toe, Juanita. I mean, my God, that you can tell looking at that man, he has never sweated a day in his life. And I'm guessing Kenneth Hutcherson hadn't cranked out much sweat since leaving the NFL either. See, that's the thing. These guys get into this right-wing fundamentalist religious dodge, and then they start screaming at other people about how hard they're not working, because the whole dodge is to keep from them having to work themselves and getting other people to work for them.
Well, this is an answer to that particular person that's on that same blog. Hey, don't tell us you don't want to follow Jesus' commandment to feed and shelter anyone who needs it. Tell him about all the opportunities they have, and I'm sure he will accept your excuse. Most people who've been on the streets for a while are physically and are mentally ill. Life on the street is hard. You don't get better. You get dirtier, starved, and sicker. If you're not treated as a human being, but the guy's name was Don Brown, expects those same people to give you a job. I hope you end up out in the cold, Don. And I hope someone helps you think straight by giving you a shower, some nourishment, and a safe, dry place to sleep. Maybe then you'll be able to help yourself. It's the only way most people can understand, I guess. They most experience it themselves. No man or woman wants to be worthless and do nothing. If you see someone in that condition, you'll know there is something wrong, i.e. sick, mentally ill, or disabled. They're also likely to be victims of abuse. It's easy to make excuses for not helping, and I have done it. Especially if you feel you have been taken advantage of before. We have to overcome those prejudices and help anyway. Now, this is from an atheist side.
Yeah, that's because atheists are generally about 19 times more moral than your average 19 million times more moral than your average fundamentalist.
Yeah. But there was a few things that... Oh, now I'm lost it. Can you give me just a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is some of my Bible verse. He said, the scribes and Pharisees murmured against Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And then this is Jesus talking, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.
No, for pity's sakes.
And two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I remember reading, you remember those parade magazines they used to have in the newspaper?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Still do. I remember years ago reading about this man who had lost everything he had. And he became homeless for a very long time and was telling, you know, how he come out of it or something, you know. And he said that the thing that he regretted the most was when he was, you know, had everything. He would be in a grocery line if somebody was ahead of him using food stamps. He would make comments to him, you know, why don't you get a job and all that kind of stuff. And he said he really regretted it now. And I thought, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Things can happen. These people that think that they're, I mean, Rush could lose everything he's got. He may not, but he could. This guy, I mean.
Yeah, a fella can hope. Sorry, I'm mean that way.
Well,
I'd love to see Rush get the Job treatment. The only thing is, he's not a righteous man, and therefore the devil ain't interested.
There you go. But you know, still, there are some of them that will. They will lose everything they have, but they may not think of that like that guy did that became homeless that I was talking about.
Yeah.
But I wanted to tell you something I saw last night on C-SPAN. It won't take long.
Okay.
What is the Senate hearings that Barbara Boxer is head of? It's about energy.
Environment and Public Works, I do believe.
Okay. Well, this happened yesterday, and I just saw the rerun. You know, the woman from Germany is wanting our government and, you know, Germany to get together, you know, on solar power and wind power and stuff.
Right.
Well, they had a hearing yesterday, Barbara Boxer's hearing. None of the Republicans showed up, not one. And they were supposed to have the EPA people?
The Republican Party is boycotting all the Senate hearings on the climate change legislation because they're pouting in a corner.
Well, they were. Barbara Boxer was saying that they wanted to have more investigation about the situation. But anyway, you know, she's very what you call diplomatic, you know. And she said, "Well, we're just going to wait, and if they come in, we'll go ahead and have a meeting." Then they had sat in there, you know, and then in the middle of the meeting, they went to have a congressional speech by that woman, head of Germany. I'm sorry, I don't know her name, but anyway, I watched the first part of it. I went to sleep on the last part, but I watched the first part, and there were some empty seats in the audience, and I suspect it was the Senate, the Republican senators. But they're just showing their stuff. They never showed up for that meeting.
No. And they have no intention of it. They're throwing a hissy.
I'm just tired of these people.
Because they say they're being persecuted.
Oh, God.
I wish I was kidding. I'm not.
Well, I believe you. Rush is being persecuted, so why not me?
They're all being persecuted.
Oh, yeah.
Poor babies.
They don't know what persecution is. Oh, God. But anyway, that's all I wanted to tell you about it. I saw that last time. I thought, oh, wow.
Yeah, well, the best line about it came from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
He said they've gone from being the party of no to the party of no show.
You know, we're starting to get some good singers, you know, going.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yes, it is. I like it.
It would be, you know, the more the merrier. The more people learn, to be mean to Republicans and give them everything that they've been given for oh so very long.
Yeah.
And to hand it back, pressed down and shaken together, as it were.
Yeah.
The better off we'll be. You know, the Virginia governor's race went down yesterday, and
yeah.
The poor Virginia was retaken by a Republican.
Yeah.
And you know why the Democrat lost?
Because he was against public option, for one.
Right. Well, because he spent the last year trying to put distance between himself and Barack Obama.
Oh boy.
And therefore, the Democratic Party couldn't fire up the base.
Yeah.
And so the Republican won by like 18 points.
Yeah, he won big. But well, I'll tell you, the Democrats need to watch it. They better do some changing.
Well, that's what we were just talking about, isn't it, Juanita? Because
right.
You know, get out there, you know, do what the guy in California's 10th did. Go out there and be liberal. You know,
yeah.
don't sit around and be some sort of soggy saltine milk toast middle of the road moderate. Be liberal and people will come to you because those are where the ideas are. Go along and get along is no longer a viable political strategy for the Democratic Party. Be liberal. Own the word. Be proud of the word. Make them come up to your face and call you that, and then, rhetorically speaking, bloody their nose when they do.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not hard to find. John, it was referenced on the show. John Kennedy did that. He said, am I a liberal? Yeah, I'm a liberal, and here's why.
Yeah, I've got that quote somewhere. Our speech, his little speech. But anyway, I'll say one thing. Now, people can talk about the man that was appointed senator in Illinois after Obama, you know.
One. Yeah.
He's got up and made a speech today, and he said, I won't vote for it unless it's got public option. He got up and...
Good on him.
I kind of like him.
Well, there's some there to like.
You know, I mean, I like him more than I like a lot of other ones.
Oh, but see, they're respectable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like Sally Quinn, you know, you have to...
You got to be all respectable.
Yeah. But isn't it funny how they think it's okay for the Republicans to do anything they want to do?
Right, to behave like
and
absolute thugs.
Things.
Yeah.
You remember that Glenn Beck, when he said that he had learned to hate the Katrina victims like he did the 9/11 victims?
Yeah.
And now he's using 9/11 for his little gaining points.
Yeah, and bless her heart, Sue has just provided me the JFK quote of "What is a liberal? This is a beautiful thing."
It is. Yeah.
What do our opponents mean when they apply to us the label liberal?
Yeah.
Which is worth remembering because this goes back to September the 14th, 1960. The Republicans have been trying to make liberal a smear.
Yeah.
For nearly 50 years or more. So Kennedy asks, what do our opponents mean when they apply to us the label liberal? If by liberal they mean, as they want people to believe, someone who is soft on in his policies abroad, who is against local government, and who is unconcerned with the taxpayer's dollar, then the record of this party and its members demonstrate that we are not that kind of liberal. But if, by a liberal, they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties, someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad, if that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say, I am a liberal.
Amen. That was good one. Do you remember when Dukakis was running?
Oh.
And they said, you're a liberal? And he said, oh, no, I'm not a liberal. I'm not a liberal.
Sadly, I do.
Yeah. And I just, that's why I like to call myself a liberal, because I got a dirty name.
Yeah, well, that's like I was over at thinkprogress.org today. I go there for, just scan and see what's going on in their world. And on that story about Deeds losing in Virginia, they said he wasn't progressive enough. And, you know, I understand a lot of people like to use that word.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah,
I'm with Guy James on this. I am a liberal. And the reason Deeds lost in Virginia was because he did not appeal to the liberal sentiments of that state's electorate.
Right.
And they stayed home.
Yep.
You know, why would you come out to support a guy that you can't tell from the Republican?
Right. Right. You got it right. Okay.
Indeed. Well, Juanita, you have yourself a good evening. And by the way, something to think about. David in Tennessee also offered this, talking about V.
Uh-huh.
He says, as another tie-in to things we find repulsive, try this. The lizard folks are another version of the Antichrist offering world peace just before he lays waste to the planet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
They are working the whole stew. And naturally, it's on ABC that's run by a gang of right-wing punks.
And Joe Lieberman will start showing his real self, his lizard hood.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a Joe Lieberman moment here. Do you ever see the comic strip This Modern World by Tom Tomorrow?
I think I have. I don't remember. Exactly.
Well, Bart Kopp's got it up in today's page over there, and I just want to share this with you for a minute because it's beautiful. It's a discussion between Harry Reid and Joe Lieberman.
Oh, gosh.
The name of the strip is Joe and Harry, starring the most important politician in all of human history, Joe Lieberman. And it starts out with Harry saying, you know, Joe, I've often told people that you're with the Democrats on everything but the war.
Uh-huh.
So I'm proposing a public option.
I'm not with you on that.
Don't worry, it's a watered-down version with an opt-out provision.
Still not with you.
Huh.
Did I mention that your insurance industry backers will likely be the ones administering a public option? Not good enough.
Well, what about a public option with a crossed our fingers behind our backs so it doesn't really count clause?
Nope.
A public option only available on the second Tuesday in March during alternate leap years?
Nuh-uh.
A public option which excludes participation by any carbon-based life form?
Sorry. Oh, okay. A public option requiring Democrats to apologize profusely for not supporting Joe Lieberman in 2006. Now you're talking.
But soon thereafter...
Wait, you're still going to filibuster? Revenge is a dish best served over and over again, as we in the Connecticut for Lieberman Party like to say.
But he's something else. He really is something else.
What a miserable...
He's the Antichrist.
He may be. He may be. Or he may just be lizard people.
Yeah. Well, the dragon, the great dragon, isn't that a lizard?
Well, there you go.
See?
Oh, Juanita, you need to be careful. You're figuring this stuff out, and somebody's liable to look you up and find you. Just, you know, don't get on any small aircraft, okay?
Don't what?
Don't get on any small aircraft.
Okay.
Oh,
we
goodness
me. We have a lot of crashes down here with the small aircraft. Wow.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I say it.
Yes.
Well, Juanita, you have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, Juanita gets really sagacious. Is that a word? Yeah, some nights. I think it is, and I think she is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Now, you had a smart caller back there. I think his name was Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Uncle Rufus?
Yeah, he was a smart white man. He could talk some sense into Spike Lee selling those tin hats in New York.
The ones with the X.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite characters.
I love the whole cartoon. I'm surprised that it hasn't been run off the air.
Well, you know, they did something on, and I don't know if Michael's up on this, but Cartoon Network had to ban two episodes because one of them revolved around the programming of black entertainment television. And Aaron was a bit too honest to how he thought they ran their board meetings. And he didn't change any of the names.
Oh, my. That's probably the reason for no change, no run.
Yeah, but...
couldn't get past legal.
I'm guessing the real talk behind Aaron Magruder is I'm hearing he's really, for those people who don't know, he's more left than you can imagine. That's why he has a character named Huey based on Huey Newton.
Huey Newton, sure.
Yeah, and I heard this is a rumor now. He's gonna have an episode on Obama that he's guessing is gonna get banned because of what he says in it, because only Aaron Magruder. Only Aaron Magruder could do this on the air and be able to pull it off in the fashion that he is. He's in that unique position, you know, of being in the Daily Strip. For those people who don't know, Aaron Magruder has literally taken his slings and arrows, because we've talked about this before, Bob, and I think a lot of people should hear this in case they didn't. During 9/11, Aaron Magruder was one of the only comics who stood up and said, I'm not falling for this BS patriotism, and I have something for your ass. And I don't know if you've ever seen these cartoons, but, Bob, they're priceless. He started a cartoon, semi-spinoff cartoon strip called Flaggy and Ribbon.
And I remember Flaggy and Ribbon.
Yeah, they would have a conversation about patriotism. Well, you know, that lost him a lot of, I don't know if you know this, but that lost him a lot of circulation when he was doing that. And it's part of the reason why he's not, say, Jim Davis in Garfield. That's part of the reason why he, you know, it's also part of the reason why he's on Cartoon Network and a lot of other networks like Fox don't even dare touch him. So,
well, I remember when Berkeley Breathed used to take shots at what's his name from Garfield, Jim Davis, and he'd also take shots at... Watterson from Calvin and Hobbes.
Right.
There was some strip I remember where he had them all getting a boat or something. No, the rest of you are, and he looks at the Bloom County crew and said, the rest of you are swimming till you start making me some money.
You know, the thing I like about Uncle Rufus is he says things that are so demonic and filled with hatred. There's the, you know what he calls the little girl, the multiracial girl, the one that's half white and half black. He calls her half breed. You just have to laugh. I mean, my God, to do that on the Cartoon Network. Aaron has cojones, people. If you haven't seen Boondocks, I hate to put in a plug for it. I have before, but I'm going to put in another one.
When you put me onto the Boondocks episode about. What was it? Some family history thing?
Oh, yeah. The family history. You know, the one of the most controversial ones, and I'm surprised it didn't get banned. I don't know how Aaron did it, but it was when Martin Luther King wasn't assassinated and he woke up from a coma.
Like Dallas.
What happened to black? What happened to the black people, and he wasn't happy. And he literally spazzed out on everyone. And the other character I really like, that's why Aaron's so brilliant. The other character I like is, it's voiced by Charlie Murphy, and he plays a white Iraq soldier thinking he's black. He's always got these schemes to rob banks and stuff, because he thinks that's how you have to be black and be gangster and be in that culture.
Well, I think Michael's right. It would be great if he got hold of Kenneth Hutcherson, but then again, he'd make him famous, and I don't know if Aaron Magruder would want to do that.
So on the subject of Hutchins and Hutcherson, I wanted to share this with you. Have you taken a chance to see a campaign site by the name of George Hutchins?
No.
This is priceless. If you type in georgehutchins.com, HUTCHINS.com, you're going to see a site that looks like, I don't know, something, a combination of GeoCities and Jeff Rentz's site. And it looks like he wants to sell you something, but you can't find the buy now button. What is priceless? Are you on it yet?
No.
Okay, George Hutchins.
Spell it, please.
H-U-T,
Hutchins.com.
Okay, give me a sec.
But George Hutchins. When you see that, Bob, we have to go through this mosaic of madness and insanity and racial prejudice and intolerance and ignorance and holy shit, I can't believe this guy is running for office. Well, actually, I can, but I can't believe that he had a campaign site.
Wow, I'm going blind.
I know, but here's the crazy thing about it.
This thing's got a background redder than Raw story.
Just read the mosaic quilt of Newsmaxery. I invented a new adjective.
Fight abomination, impeachment, stop mass voting fraud, better economic plan, deregulation, more better jobs, offshore oil wells, fight crime, end inmate privileges, death penalty appeal limits, win the culture war, end gay marriage, stop terrorists, fake Republicans, Hutchins biography, awards, military service, education.
Scroll down to the part where you see, this is what I wanted people to be aware of. The Stanford and Son. Did you see the Stanford and Son and Obama comparison? That is priceless. Holy cow, I can't believe someone would take the time to do such BS like that. Do you see what I'm talking about? When you do,
describe
it to the people.
Wait, I've got Windsor Castle, England.
You will see, I kid you not, people, you will see he compares Michelle Obama to Aunt Esther.
This can't be real.
It is. He compares Barack Obama to Lamont Stanford. This is what I talked about.
Wait, where is this? I don't see this on the page now.
I know. It's way. You know what I'll have to do? I'll have to send you, like, you know how you crop the pictures? Because he put this whole, in case people don't know, it's like this whole mosaic, and you can get an epileptic seizure just looking at it.
Yes! I mean, this thing is hurting me right now.
I know. That's why I put it on to you. I'm here to torture you.
No, stop marijuana use.
So, I mean,
the Alamo, GeorgeHutchins.com, Davy Crockett, John Wayne.
Let me just describe. This is the crazy thing. Someone put me onto it because I didn't see it when I went to the website, and we thought it was a Photoshop. That's the hilarious thing, Bob. We thought it was a Photoshop, but it wasn't. And what it is he compares Stanford and Son, the sitcom Stanford and Son, with the Obamas. So Lamont Stanford is Barack Obama. Red Fox is Reverend Wright.
Oh, God.
It's madness upon madness, but it's priceless. And it's lunacy, and the fact that this guy believes this and he put this out there, oh my God, I still can't believe people are actually donating to this guy with a site like this. They should be suing him for experiencing seizures and headaches.
Oh, and yeah, he posts his response to the North Carolina Republican Party about the, because there's a message board. I mean, oh my God, I talked about wading in the swamp.
Yeah, that's
you're going to have to need a pirogue for this.
Yeah, you're going to need to have a, one of those old.
Here's a thread.
I'm going to crank the air pump for you, Bob. Don't worry. You can go underneath the swamp.
We apologize to all Sanford and Sons fans because Sanford and Son characters are better persons than the Obama gang.
Oh, my God. Well, see, Bob, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And this is exactly...
And, of course, he's a birther.
No, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what Aaron Magruder is talking about. Nobody makes an effort to find out about black culture and black education in America when you consider people from the right wing. They like to talk the talk and think they know something about African Americans and their contributions, but this is what they know, Nick at Night, Stanford. This is it.
But you know what's amazing about this guy? He's running for the North Carolina 4th District. Which includes Raleigh-Durham, Cary, Morrisville, Chapel Hill, Apex, and Carrboro, and so forth. You know, it was Chapel Hill that Jesse Helms once claimed that he wanted to build a wall around for the sake of the decent North Carolinians.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the images that he had on there, and I read some of the things on the, it really is kind of like a tragic funny. It's tragically funny, but it really is sad for our nation.
But the other thing that needs to be made abundantly clear here, David, I mean, yeah. This thing looks like Looney Tunes to a normal human being.
I know.
But the fact of the matter is, this is the face of the real core of the Republican Party. This is them. The real Republican Party isn't that Scosa Fava woman who was running and then wasn't running in New York. This is the face of the Republican Party. This is who they are. This is who they want to be. This is what they support.
And, Bob, if I may add, this is their crazy quilt. Their digital crazy quilt. Go to georgehutchins.com.
Or don't. If you've got any evidence of a seizure disorder or anything like that, don't go.
Remember what Reverbo said? We're going to need his his daily prescription.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh my God! How long until Sarah Palin and Newt and or not Newt, but until Sarah Palin and the Glenn Beck declare their undying love and support for George Hutchins in North Carolina?
I don't know, but I see. But I see that that Overman now is going after Beck, which you know me and what I think about it. That's what he was waiting for.
But we often share little bits of audio from videos.
Yeah.
I got one for you here that was sent along by David in Tennessee earlier from the geniuses at the Onion. Okay. This is
I know which one you're talking.
This
about.
Is beautiful.
Tragedy in the heartland today as a 17-year-old honors student burned alive after being hit by an out-of-control speeding car. A grisly death only TV host Glenn Beck could deserve. According to police, a car driving over 70 miles per hour in a 25-mile-per-hour zone struck young Rebecca Bunton as she was bicycling down a quiet street in Olathe, Kansas, shattering her rib cage and not Glenn Beck's, tragically pinning her legs, not his, to a retaining wall. Calvin Dale lives just a few blocks from the scene of the accident.
I heard screaming, and I thought it was just someone doing an accurate impression of Glenn Beck talking normally, but then I saw the smoke.
EMT Craig Anton was first on the scene.
I jumped out of the ambulance, and I ran to the wreckage to make sure that the victim was still breathing, or else was Glenn Beck.
At this impromptu vigil, friends said Rebecca was a lively girl with a bright future, a good friend who hated Glenn Beck and loved to dance.
She was just a normal kid. She wasn't some fat, dumb Mormon fuckface who should have drank herself to death when she had the chance. She was so beautiful, she didn't even have little pig eyes.
Among those expressing their grief and confusion was the victim's mother.
There is no harder thing than to have Glenn Beck outlive your child. I would give anything for this to have happened to Glenn Beck instead. Glenn Beck.
The terrible tragedy hits especially hard following the Rottweiler mauling of someone besides Glenn Beck in Milwaukee yesterday and the revelation that Glenn Beck was not the man trampled to death at a street carnival in Rio de Janeiro Sunday. Moving on, Reebok has introduced a line of full-body sneakers.
Amen.
Bob, before I go, I wanted to mention.
I'm sorry to break it, but you know.
Yeah.
I want to have the onions, baby.
I completely understand with your sentiment on that. I wanted to mention one last thing. Have you heard about the? Because I have mixed feelings on this, and I don't think I have heard many people talking about it. But have you heard about the news of the debate announcement?
No.
Well, apparently, it's pretty much being confirmed right now that George Bush is going to debate Bill Clinton in February.
Oh, make it stop.
No, I'm serious. And see, this is my problem. What right does George Bush have, a known war criminal, in debating Bill Clinton when he's not well read, he has no interest in the issues. See, this is my problem, Bob. Why take that person? And why actually legitimize him as an opponent? He's not an opponent. He was the clown. He was the Crawford clown. We all know that.
He was barely even real.
So what do you think about that? Did you hear how much the tickets are? Wait a minute, let's talk about the insanity. You know how much the tickets are? I can't make this up, people. $65 to $1,250.
Makes your head hurt.
So what do you think about that one?
I get things dropped on me in this program, David.
I know. I like just, to do that.
And you're getting way too good at it.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm going to tell you my feelings on it. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. George Bush doesn't deserve to debate a well-read person.
Rhodes Scholar,
exactly, like Bill Clinton. I'm sure the right wing can do better. It's going to be an extreme challenge to find someone to debate.
No, but come on. Now, wait a minute. Put your little tinfoil hat on, okay?
Yeah.
Let's figure out why this is happening. You remember that Poppy and Bill became a little bit chummy. You know, they went out and raised money for the tsunami relief and stuff like that. And
right.
There is speculation that basically Bill was the son that Poppy wished he could have had and never did. And of course, Bill, and I'm not being critical or mean-spirited here, I suspect that Bill probably has some search for a father issues just because of the nature of his upbringing.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the phone rang on a connection from Kenny Bunkport to Westchester. Is it Westchester where Bill lives now?
Yeah.
And it was something along the lines of, you know, hey, Bill, it's Poppy. My son, the screw-up, is flailing and failing miserably trying to get, you know, speaker circuit dollars. Could you help a guy out? Would you go on tour with him and debate him about the Iraq War? Don't beat him up too bad. But, you know, he needs to make some money. I mean, God knows, you know, you became a multimillionaire when you left office because you go and you give good speeches and you're smart and everything.
Right.
W doesn't have a chance without you, Bill. I mean, come on. He's an ex-president now. I mean, you guys, it's a small country club. Come on. Smaller than the Senate. You got to, oh, please, Bill, I'm on my knees. That is how that tour developed, if it shakes out.
He's definitely going to have that box on his back and a wire in his ear if he goes against Bill Clinton on stage.
Oh, Jesus, he'll have the whole backpack going for him.
He'll have one of those
mountain biking camelback water bag things filled with satellite receivers. It may even operate his brain for him.
Yeah, and it'll be this giant hunch on his.
Right, and he get and they'll teach him to do the Marty Feldman thing from Young Frankenstein. What up?
And if you criticize him, you'll be seen as heartless for criticizing an old man with a disability and a hump on his back. And you know, but before I go, Bob, seriously. $1,000 for the ticket? No thanks. I'll wait for the YouTube bootleg. And I am out of here.
You are out of here. See you, David.
Bye
now. Yeah, that could be more exciting than the U2 concert on YouTube. U2 on YouTube, that's tough to say. Only a professional should try that. It's over at the Onion if you want to watch and enjoy the tragic accident victim, not Glenn Beck, video again. I'm going to watch that over and over and over. I wonder how long until Michelle Malkin has a hissy about it, or has she already? And I'm told, by the way, that there is there has been something afoot in the House of Representatives in the last hour or so. The Republicans have found managed to dig up a rule that stopped it, but Alan Grayson, who is a firm believer in punching, rhetorically speaking, metaphorically speaking, punching repiglicans bloody in their nose and telling them to get up if they want some more. Alan Grayson has been reading into the congressional record the number of dead in every district with a Republican. You know, like in from lack of insurance coverage and this year to date. He got to Oregon, and then some Republican made the House go into recess until the call of the chair. We're talking heroism. And just a follow-up to what David was talking about before I do go back to the phones, this headline from TPM, Uncensored Bush-Clinton debate canceled due to overly aggressive promotion. That according to the New York Post. After the event's promoter advertised it as uncensored, unedited, and unpredictable. This event was supposed to be a discussion between the two former presidents and has been canceled because it was not being billed as such by an overeager promoter, said Matt McKenna, a spokesman for Clinton. McKenna said it was never supposed to be a debate. February, Radio City Music Hall. And like David said, $1,000 a pop tickets. I don't know where it broke down. How could it be a discussion between Bill Clinton and George W. Bush? George W. Bush is incapable of discussion. I still suggest it was a personal favor. Worked up between Bill and Poppy. For Poppy's pitiable, blood-sodden, idiot son. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up, Garrett?
Oh boy, we need to talk about this V business.
Yes.
I knew something was wrong because I watched V, and I have the first miniseries on DVD, and I also know that there's some hinky stuff going on with how we got this remake, because back in the 80s when they were doing all this V stuff, the creator, Kenneth Johnson, he created the show with an obvious, you know, Nazi allegory with the whole, I mean, it was so blatant that he even put in the Holocaust survivors as two of the supporting characters in it that said, this is just like, one of them, an old man, even said repeatedly, this is just like, you know, once things started getting kind of weird, this just like the old times and, you know, all that.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, when it time came to do the inevitable sequel, and Kenneth Johnson said, screw this, I'm leaving, after NBC started being NBC. So, anyway, so the second miniseries was popular enough because sequels are always popular, even if they stink, you know. And then they had the bad TV series. Don't watch it if you want to. No, don't watch it. Everybody, don't watch it. Don't. No, avoid it. It's very stupid. But anyway, so they put it out on DVD, and they have Kenneth Johnson do this whole commentary. He's like, gets an idea. And he gets to the last scene in the original series has one of the main characters calling out aliens for help. You know, it's like you're calling out into space. Is there anybody? Because they'd heard that there are other aliens that beat down the V. So it's like he got this idea. I'm going to do a sequel. So his plan was that it was going to be like France in 20 years in the future, and it's going to be like the planet is going to be like France in 1943. You know, it's okay. You know, okay life if you can deal with the Wehrmacht and the fact that all your Jewish friends are gone. If you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so and oh, by the way, in this one, not only are you, because the original was the scientists that they were, you know, that they were persecuting. I don't know what they're going to persecute this time, but it's the scientists were the one that the V's were looking out after, because they, the caveat was that the scientists could figure out that they're full of crap. Or some, you know, the like with Reagan, kill the intellectuals because, well, you know.
Right, and that's, and that's the thing. The first series had definite overtones of right-wing thuggery and what it means when a country lurches to the right.
Yeah.
And now it would seem that ABC has taken the concept and turned it on its ear.
Well, here's the thing. So anyway, Kenneth Johnson has been trying for years to get a movie or a TV series or anyway trying to sequelize it, because he had an idea. You know, yes, it would call, he even novelized it like a couple of years ago, like Be the Next Generation or something, the Second Generation or whatever. You know, yeah, he ignored the second miniseries and the TV show, but apparently, you know, it's not too crummy, though. It obviously reads like, you know, a script turned into a novel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing is, so he's been trying to do that. But at some, because going through Warner, because he owns, like, Motion, he switched to, after, like, the networks and Warner Brothers didn't want the TV show, since he has the motion picture rights to a V movie, he can go, you know, that's what he's been working on, apparently, at least the last I heard, you know, trying to make a motion picture sequel and get all the old cast who want to do it because, oh, yeah, unless you're Robert Englund, you kind of haven't done too much since V got done with. So anyway, but yeah, so then, you know, Warner Brothers, you know, decides to go with this remake here. And the thing is that one of the first things I noticed is wrong, besides the fact that the female lead is from Lost, which is ABC's new thing. They're not looking for the new 24. They're looking for the new Lost.
Oh, really?
They're a bunch of right. Yes, they're totally off the gourd right wing, but it's not their, Lost is ending this May. This next dozen or so episodes, it's over. So they know that Lost is their little cash cow. So they need that's the same thing with this flash forward. It's trying to set it up to, and they've got another one, that another alien invasion show that's apparent. I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but it's also big budget spectacular that they're trying to make the new Lost. And that's, you know, that's what it is there. So, anyway, so they've got this, and they've credited the story and the created by Kenneth Johnson. Not based on the story. No, they're saying that they're trying to make it look like he approved this on some level.
But, in fact, he did not.
He's not, you know, he's more concerned with getting what he wants out there, and he's not live and let live. I did a quickie Google search, and all they're talking about is great ratings and you know, links to the Slate store, that Slate reviews and some of a couple other things from when it was first screened, where the reviewers were like, what the F is going on? And one of them, a guy from a reviewer from the Chicago Tribune, who's a libertarian, who noticed it. Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, it's even on the Wikipedia page for the new miniseries. It's like this guy who's noted, and they put it in there. Oh, by the way, he's a noted libertarian. Like, yeah, this is bad. The Democrats are going to hate this. Are probably going to hate this. It's like, so it's like even people on the right know that this is,
well, you know, and would you hate it if you were being overtly slandered with the thinly veiled allegory? Yeah, I think so.
Because, I mean, I kind of, you know, I didn't, you know, look at it too horribly, critically, at least on terms of, like, you know, the political stuff yet, because it's only first episode. I was trying to, you know, are they screwing up? Or is it another screw-up remake? Because, I mean, this is kind of in my childhood range here, and if you haven't noticed, everybody's screwing up everything from my childhood. I mean,
that's a phenomenon that seems to happen, though, as one grows older. It's not just you, trust me.
Yeah, but it's getting really bad. Have you noticed that Hollywood's really running out of ideas?
Yeah, and I think there's a variety of reasons for that. The writing is becoming poorer. Directing is becoming poorer. And Hollywood refuses to finance anything that doesn't have a lot of explosions and, you know, a big screen, special effects extravaganza.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, the whole CG thing. I mean, let's face it. I mean, like, this whole, you know, things like the Transformers, you know, which, of course, like most everything Michael Bay has had, more than a bit of racist stuff going on in there. Because one of the most horrible things about this Transformers sequel is that they've got two characters that basically they should have renamed, that were called Skids and Mudflats, that they should have renamed Steppin' and Fetchit.
Oh, really? Is it the... Oh,
they
come on. Who is the Star Wars character from the first of the new series?
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, is it Jar Jar Binks for a new generation?
Oh, no, this is even worse. I mean, there's a point in the movie where they say, well, I can't, one of them says, well, I can't read, and they're all hip-hop, yo-yo-yo, you know, all the stereotypical business, and it's like they have gold teeth. I mean, it's just, it makes you appreciate Jar Jar.
That's just sad, Garrett.
It's scary when you appreciate how low-key Jar Jar was. I mean, you know, I've been exposed to more than my fair share of racist stuff. I mean, I find, you know, the NBC affiliate out of Plattsburgh, New York, which is basically the NBC station I grew up out of, they let all the racist stuff kind of, they were the ones that showed, like, you know, Tom and Jerry and Popeye and some of the other random Golden Age cartoons, the stuff they let fly. Oh, boy. They didn't care. I mean, like, you know how the Mammy, the character in Tom and Jerry?
Yeah.
I never edited her. It wasn't until I finally got cable when I moved out here to Vegas that I realized that was bad.
That was bad.
Yeah, and the whole they never took out the blackface explosion effects or Buzzy the Crow was fine. I mean, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, to steal the deal, they refused to, this is probably unrelated, but they also utterly refused to show A Different World, you know, the Cosby Show spinoff, you know,
yeah,
from a black college. Yeah, they refused to show it, and they put on, the station refused to show it, and they put on reruns of Family Ties. I swear to God, this is true. Yeah, that's what, you know.
I'm so glad I watch so little television.
That was in the 80s.
I know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if I wasn't a discerning viewer, I'd be just.
But the thing is, you are, and therefore, you're kind of compelled to ask the question, Garrett, that we constantly ask here: what is this stuff doing to the unsuspecting?
Yeah, or I mean, you know, or well, I mean, so many, and they like to change stuff around. I mean, you know, I've spent way too much money on the complete, you know, perfect DVD releases of G.I. Joe and Transformers, and they're both edited and changed because they're too stupid. They're like, oh, we need to go to the film. You don't go to film when the show was edited on video, but that's neither here nor there. But it's like, you know, all saying that, oh, it's going to be fine, and it's like, no.
Nah, it's not fine.
You know, it's like, you know, I shouldn't have to get angry about, you know, some when somebody tells me we're going to, it's going to be as it was, or, you know, somebody tells me something and it's wrong. And it's just, I had a bad feeling about it because, first off, I mean, they put to forth on this thing, they put forth the big reveal at, like, the second or third part of the original miniseries is that they're the lizards, because the end of one of the episodes, yeah, the end of the second episode has the evil lady, second in command one, has her eating, you know, the hamster. They have, you know, swallowing a hamster whole. You know, it looks kind of cheesy now, but yeah, it, and it's a, you know, it's an animatronic thing because her jaw just, you know, inhumanly gets large. It's a big freaking hamster. It's a big...
Oh, it's a guinea pig.
Yeah, guinea pig. I'm sorry. Yeah, but anyway, big old thing. And then the next part ends with them, you know, ripping... The resistance ripping open the face of the leader played by Jonathan Hurd, you know, which not... That is another thing. They didn't... They made a point, you're all attractive. And that's like, that wasn't necessarily the case with, they didn't emphasize that point the first time around. They just were friendly.
Yeah, you all are good looking. You must be shape-shifting liberal lizards.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that was another, but anyway.
Well, but, you know, the real benchmark, Garrett, will be the degree to which the right wing gets behind this a la 24.
Well, here's the thing. This show, they've only filmed 4 episodes. The 4 episodes they're going to show in this month in November. And the thing is that because the order was for 13, but they decided we're only going to show the first 4 episodes and then the next.
And see how it tests.
And it's the next 9 after the Olympics. But the thing is, you know, if the ratings are horrible... And, oh, the ratings last night weren't horrible. They were, like, the best 8 p.m. debut since, oh, Lost on the network.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, with the ABC needs its new Lost.
Well, see, I go back to my profound sense of frustration insofar as I got interested in a television program.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be before you started listening, but Agnes and I were sitting down. It was one of those nights when nobody was around for some reason or another, and all the kids were asleep.
From last season, the one.
Life on Mars. Life on Mars.
Yeah, Life on Mars. Yeah, I mean, I watched it.
And then they started playing the monkey business with the time slot, and then it was gone for 8 weeks, and then came back, and then they said, well, we're done with this. We're just gonna we're just gonna end it in one fell swoop, 1 hour, and it'll be over.
Yeah, because it's.
And I'm just sitting there, you bastards.
Yeah, because I watched that and then lost track of it when they were screwing around with it. Because ABC's been doing that a lot. Because one of the shows that before they had that stupid writer's strike, they had Pushing Daisies on ABC, and it got good ratings. But then when the writer's strike came back, it got started having crappy ratings because, oh, it only aired like 8 episodes before the strike happened. So it's like, so, I mean, they were screwing it with it the same last season. It aired the same night as Life on Mars on Wednesdays. And, you know, lost track of both Pushing Daisies last season and Life on Mars.
Yeah, Pushing Daisies is what replaced Life on Mars.
No, Pushing Daisies was on at 8, and Life on Mars was on at 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because...
Okay, some bit of dreck about a guy who was a journalist following a hardcore and yet beautiful lady cop. Replaced Life on Mars.
Yeah, they replaced. Yeah, they had. They plugged a couple of shows at that time slot on frickin' ABC. Neither one of them are on the network now, not shockingly. And it's just, you know, they, you know, and the thing is that they always, it seems like ABC want, there are a couple people that want to do something right. And I mean, I bet that there are a few, I mean, you bet, you get the idea that some of the actors on this V, they went in because they remembered the original V, which, you know, I mean, had some pretty juicy stuff there besides, you know,
yeah.
It had some great villain moments. I mean, plus it had, you know, it did a lot better for the Nazi allegories than most actual movies that actually take place in Nazi.
Well, that, you know, and that's what science fiction can do. When yeah. when you're operating, you know, look, you know, the patron saint movie of this network is Idiocracy.
Which and is science fiction. You know,
that
you
is
know.
Not science fiction. It's
a term. It is
right. It's social commentary that uses a futuristic platform to offer rather biting satire about our present.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's generally that's what I define as science fiction. I mean, it has a bad name. I mean, that's why the Sci-Fi Channel has turned them to SYFY, you know, still the same pronunciation for now, but, you know, it's like they, anything that takes in place in the future and is, you know, got some hitting meaning, that's automatically, you know.
You know, you make me think, it did diddly at the box office, but to this day, one of my favorites remains Blade Runner.
Yeah, because, I mean, granted, when they brought it to, you know, part of the reason why it did squat at the box office is because what Warner Brothers, how they re-edited. I mean, I've got the Ultra Colossal DVD edition, you know, that's out there that has all the versions, and it's like, it has the original release version is crap, really. I mean, it's got the happy ending, and it's got, and you definitely can tell that Harrison Ford was going through the motions with that forced narration. I mean, he didn't, you know, do a crappy job, you know, but it's like no feeling in it.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, and it's the director's cut or, you know, the expanded edition, both of the expanded editions that are, you know, better on that end than it. I mean, because Phil K. Dick, he was.
He wasn't Little Mary Sunshine when it comes to writing.
Yeah, but he was in communication with Ridley Scott and all of them, and he was fairly pleased with what he saw before he croaked, because he croaked before it came out.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, even though it's why the movie is wildly different from the story, I mean. Changes a lot of the details, but it gets the tone right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and God help me, I will always be forevermore a sci-fi geek, and perhaps that's why they, you know, hey, I got no, but once again, we don't have an audience of millions on the horn either. So I don't know. My tastes are rather esoteric, I guess is the best way to put it. And I love conversations like this. But Garrett, got to roll on, and we will talk soon. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye now. One gets the idea that Garrett is a font of information about such things, and I love that. I love that level of knowledge. I'm a knowledge junkie. Yeah, we've had two instances now. In one case, the alien eating a cat, and the other eating a hamster that was really big. I'm coming to the conclusion it was probably a guinea pig. Anything that requires the unhinging of a jaw. Yeah, guinea pig. This in from William. Some thoughts. William says, there has never been a day when I was asked for money or if I saw someone alone and you can tell is hurting, that I would not offer what I had in pocket or hand to them even when not asked. Not to brag, it's to make people aware. I've had better conversations with many of these people, and they are people, than I have had with most who were doing just fine. The very day I lost my last job, still in a state of shock over working there for 12 years, I pulled into a 7-Eleven to get some cigs, and a fella I'd seen there many times asked for change, and he told me he was saving up for one of those submarine sandwiches. I said on my way out with the thought in mind I would find that sandwich and buy it for him. I did and handed it to him saying it's cold, and he said I can go in and heat it up and this will last me for 3 days. And just as excitement took away the state of shock I was in. While I still had my job, an older man walking in in a worn suit and did the best he could to be presentable and asked me if there was any jobs. I took him to my boss and instantly he was told, no, we are not hiring. We were. These stories are endless, and as long as the cold nights and wet nights, people who have lost all face daily and for years on end. Now that I've been out of work for years, what I do know is these people who live on the streets are braver and stronger than I, and certainly stronger and braver than those who have more than enough and never see them. Hear, hear. I don't know. I know Guy wasn't able to be on the air this afternoon. He has, it's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. He sent me an internet and told me that he was having problems with his tubes, and he hopes to have them fixed soon. Never a dull moment. I don't know if he got around to telling our stories about running into folks in need in D.C. And I don't know that I'm going to tell it now, but... All I can say is that you see a side of human need that Republicans never imagine. Because they live in an America where, like that loathsome Toby Keith song we played a few weeks ago says, you know, where if you pour a cup of coffee in your lap, you get $1 million. That's the America that Republicans think that they live in. You know, that stupid song has references that make fun of global climate change. Tell you what, Toby, we're going to move you out to, the Maldives Islands? The ones that are sinking in the Indian Ocean? The ones that are being covered up by the water because of the rising ocean levels? Tell you what, Toby, you know, they recently hosted, John Fox provided me with the story. They recently hosted an underwater summit about how to deal with climate change there. You know, all these world leaders in wetsuits on the, you know, sitting on the seafloor. Let's take Toby Keith to the Maldives and put him on some low ground and say, listen, Tobe, why don't you write a song making fun of global climate change while the water starts at your toes, works its way to your ankles, gets up to your knees, and long about the time it hits your crotch, and you know you ain't got no wetsuit, tell us if you've got another top 10 country chart buster about how funny global climate change is. Do that for us, would you, Tobe? That's a good man. I happened to walk into the living room today when that video was playing on the television, and Agnes and I just sat there staring at it in slack-jawed horror. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny, pouring 200 degree, not past boiling coffee on your crotch. And you get $1 million for it for just a few third degree burns and some agony. Hey, Toby, come here. Yeah, I got some coffee for you. Jesus. But once again in D.C., our nation's capital, we were confronted with the reality that Republicans just like to pretend doesn't exist. You know, those folks are the wrong color to care about in the first place. And even if they were the right color, they'd be deemed bums One of the people Guy and I talked with said he had been living with HIV for 12 years. Yeah, come here, Glenn Beck. How much guts you got, buddy? I got a blinking light here. I'm not sure if it's a caller or not. That would be not. A few open lines. And some stuff to look into as we move toward the end of the program this evening. Did you know, and there's a website. You can go to it. NoSchoolForSam.org. No, just like it sounds. NoSchoolForSam.org. Is trying to generate support for pre-K education. And, of course, there is an ardent effort going on inside our government by the usual suspects to stop nothing more than a pissant $8 billion to enhance the availability of pre-K education for America's children. Gotta love some family values, don't you? Because you know who's blocking it. Doesn't cost you anything. Go and send a letter. NoSchoolForSam.org. As they note, all children deserve pre-K. Only some get to go. And, you know, that's not just true in some places. It's true here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. It's true in downtown New York City. And it's true in Des Moines. NoSchoolForSam.org. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Lee in Austin.
Hey, Lee, how you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. Hey, I've got a question, not to go off topic, not to, like...
There is no topic. You go where you need to go.
Are you in Beckley?
I'm out of Beckley. I'm not in Beckley.
Okay. I have to pick up a car in Richmond next week, Virginia, and then I'm going to Princeton, Kentucky. My family normally goes through Tennessee, but from looking at the map, sorry, this is horrible radio. But from looking at the map, it's just as short through West Virginia, and I really kind of want to go look at MTR firsthand, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Well, Beckley's not the place to go look at MTR.
Well, I just knew that was your mailing address.
Yeah, that is the mailing address. I don't live in Beckley. That's where the post office box is.
Oh, okay.
Boss man Wayne does the post office box duty, so it's nearer him than it is me.
Okay.
No, I'm in the next county north. I'm in Fayette County. But if you want to see mountaintop removal, if you will shoot me an email before you come, I'll try to stay in touch with you and make it so that you can get up and look at Cayford.
Okay.
And Cayford is nearer Charleston than it is Beckley.
Charleston. Oh, that's off of 77, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how you do. You'll be coming from Austin, right?
No. I'm flying to Richmond, and then I'm coming out 64, and then I'm looking at the map right now. It's like 64, 77.
Yeah. So as it stands, driving from Richmond, you'll take 64 over to 81, 81 and 64 joined together. Then you get back on 64, and that takes you through Western Virginia into Greenbrier County, West Virginia, up through Summers County into Raleigh County, and it'll shoot you on down toward Charleston, and it's just a matter of getting off the interstate and going a couple of back. Depending on what kind of car you're driving.
Volvo.
I wouldn't go up Cayford Mountain in a Volvo. Maybe if we, any idea what day this is going to be, Lee?
I'm flying out Tuesday, so I'm probably either going to be out your way either Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, because I'm gone on Wednesday and not back till Wednesday evening, but I'll be home on Thursday.
Okay.
If you work it out, maybe somebody could take you up on Cayford.
Okay. I'll definitely get in touch with you. That's like I said, scintillating radio, so I apologize.
Oh, no. This is what this is for.
But this is, you know, it's like I can get a couple of bucks, you know, because, I mean, I sit there and say MTR, it, you know, and I've taken and posted all these different topics that you guys talk about, and on my Facebook and everything else, I try and credit you guys and all this other stuff. And people just glaze out. It doesn't matter what it is, unless it was, you know, what did you mention? Oh, God, you guys killed me last night with, and I just heard that today, the wandering vagina syndrome or whatever it was.
Restless vagina.
You know, which I thought was called a libertine in the old days and a wanton woman. You know what I'm saying? It just sounds, I thought it was made up until you guys, you know. So unless you post something like that, they're not looking. So, yeah, you know, I'm just like, well, at least I'll have some pictures to go back and, you know, throw up on my Facebook and everything. Of the mountains.
And, well, and frankly, I encourage anyone who has the possibility of getting up on Kayford to do so. Because you at a distance, and I say this for myself, okay? You look at mountaintop removal at a distance via photographs or flyovers or photos or whatever, and you go, holy crap, that's awful, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can ask anybody who has seen it up close up on Kayford, and they will tell you straight away that when you see it with your own eyes, at ground level, it is a life-changing experience.
Yeah, and probably puts them a little more depth in those pictures that you've seen at a distance.
Yeah, well, it really does, and because, you know, when you look out on one of these things and all you can see is devastation for as far as the eye will reach.
Ugh.
Yeah, and you understand that that's tied to you. I mean, I'm not pointing the finger at you, Lee. But, you know,
you said yesterday you're in the cold water business. I'm down with that. That's fine.
You know, you're in a place where they burn coal for energy, and some of it's mountaintop removal coal. Anybody in the southeast, anybody in the northeast, anybody, you know, it's just about impossible to get away from mountaintop removal. It's only 5% of the coal produced in the United States, but they've managed to get it so pervasively into the system that you just can't, that you just about can't avoid it.
I feel like you need a shower again.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Thanks.
I know. But I encourage you to see it if you can.
No, I plan to. Like I said, I've only got about a week off, but I've got to get back to work, you know, but it was just, this was too good an opportunity. I'm like, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be in that area again. I played a little dive in Charleston years ago. I think it was called the Empty Glass.
Oh, that's one of the best dives in West Virginia.
Well, I'm not knocking it, but you should.
No, I know. I like dives. And it's a dive. It's on Elizabeth Street, just around the corner from Washington Avenue, Washington Street, three blocks down from the state capitol.
Excellent. Like I said, we got in there at night, and then we were still appalled by the rooms that came with the place. Yeah, you know, it was one thing when you walk in and you want smoke in your clubs usually because it covers up that foul smell of spilt beer.
Yeah, beer joint funk.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so when they take the smoke out and you can't smoke anymore, I mean, that's the first thing. When you walk into a club, you kind of want a filter between you and what you're sucking in. You know, but we got to the rooms and it was the typical bed sheet hung up over a doorway for a door between the two rooms and, you know, just, yeah, it, your skin just kind of crawled when you went in. Not in the bar. The bar was a fun show. But, no, I haven't seen Charles. I mean, you know, we hit there on the way through and we're there for, you know, one night and that was that. But yeah, I actually want to be able to drive and catch some of this with my own eyes, you know. But anyway, yeah, I'll shoot you an email and let you know my stuff.
Who knows? When you see it, you may start writing about it. I mean, it, on the creative side, who knows? There may be a song come out of it, Lee.
What rhymes with kaboom? Anyway, sorry. Let me let you go. I'll definitely shoot you an email. Oh, and since you mentioned that, and that will also add, seeing it with your own eyes, it'll listen to me with a shameless plug. It'll make that thing up on my wall for the love of West Virginia look, you know, all that more sweeter, as we've said in the past. So, you know, are y'all out of those yet?
No. And thank you for mentioning them. It's a good thing that you did.
Well, you have a great one, Bob. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Lee.
Right,
bye now. Lee calling from Texas, quite possibly not too far distant from seeing hell on earth with his own eyes. And I've got to check and get permission, but when I speaking of hell on earth with one's own eyes, our good friend Vivian Stockman over at the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition recently participated in a flyover of Coal River Mountain. And I don't know quite how to go about getting the photos from her. They're posted up on a Flickr site, but I don't know if I've got permission to send, you know, thousands of people to it. So I'll try to find out from her how I can make the photos available so that you can see what we're talking about when we talk about the destruction of the last mountain in southern West Virginia with potential for industrial wind and what that really means. Because the bastards are blasting right next to a sludge sea. It's not an impoundment. I don't know what the word is for 9.8 billion gallons of toxic waste that should the dam fail would immediately kill 1,000 people. That's immediately. That's not the downstream effects. That's dead. I don't know what the word is for that, but they're blasting right next to one. Because that's where the beech tree permit is. That's where we want to put the Coal River Wind Farm. And you think of the line from Dr. Strangelove, when I think it's the Russian ambassador says, "The fools, the mad fools." Because see, when that damn thing fails, when that damn fails, Don Blankenship is going to be nowhere to be found. Hell, but he's probably already got the corporate jet orders for the corporate jet ready to go to, you know, Brazil, out of reach of extradition. When that happens, you know that's how it is with our betters. They're always ready. With plan B, as it were. So I'll see about getting those photos up. Other stuff that's out there, just to sort of wrap up prayer meeting night. You know about the somewhat stymied eBay auction for the defense of Scott Roeder, the man who slaughtered Dr. George Tiller? eBay supposedly put the kibosh on it, but then the restrictions were subverted, at least temporarily, by, and David from Maine could probably explain this better than I can, but by posting less contentious items using spellings that made searches difficult. TPM Muckraker had a slideshow of the items that they planned to auction. One of them featured somebody, I guess it's a David and Goliath motif. You know, little long-haired guy with a headband and a dress holding up the bloody head of what would be Goliath, I suppose, with the word Tiller inscribed across the forehead. Yeah, charming, huh? Yeah, they're part of the culture of life. Right-wing religion industry took a beating yesterday in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yay, Kalamazoo. They lost on a city ordinance that would provide domestic partnership benefits. The religion industry is, of course, pissed, explaining that it was because of money. Supporters of that ordinance were bankrolled by an in-house homosexual activist billionaire who lives in Kalamazoo. We was outspent 10-1, and we couldn't get our people out. Gee, if only you'd had the Roman Catholic Church and the Mormons to band together to try to, you know, catapult the propaganda and spread your hate in Kalamazoo. The leader of a Christian medical group is warning that pending healthcare legislation in the U.S. House could establish the Secretary of Health and Human Services as the new health care dictator. The Christian Medical and Dental Associations is calling the new Democrat-sponsored health care bill, the Affordable Health Care for America Act, H.R. 3962, an overdose that threatens patient-physician relationship. Really? CEO Dr. David Stevens says the 1,990-page bill does nothing to lower the cost of health care, but instead promotes government rationing of health care to those they deem worthwhile, namely individuals between the ages of 15 and 45. How's it going to affect patient-doctor-patient relationships when millions of people in this country can't have a doctor-patient relationship in the first place? Just ask him. And they are the wingnuts and teabaggers and so forth. They are indeed smarting and licking their wounds over the ass beating up in New York's 23rd. A pro-life group that backed Conservative Party candidate Doug Hoffman. Remember the guy who didn't even live in the district? Yeah, that guy. Says the Democratic special election victory in New York's 23rd congressional district is actually a win for motivated conservative activists. Yeah, up is down, black is white, peace is war. Fear is strength, you know. Mr. Orwell? Apparently, Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony list, which is a bunch of wingnuts, says the Republican Party apparatus needs to learn a strong lesson from the New York contest.
Being principled is the best strategy for long-term success. In New York's 23, if we had a candidate who was principled in terms of accepting and embracing the principles of the Republican Party platform, we would be seeing a Republican sworn in from that district right now. As it turns out, Doug Hoffman ended up having to run against two parties for a very long period of time.
Oh, such a poor baby. Yeah, they're stinging big time. I can prove this with the words of Flush Flemball himself. Guess whose fault doesn't live in the district right wing nut not winning in New York's 23rd was? Just guess. Come on. I know you can.
These are my thoughts on New York 23. In the first place, I have to double check this, but I'm reasonably sure that this was the highest percentage of the vote ever won on the Conservative Party line by a House or Senate candidate. I think Hoffman had a higher percentage of the vote than even James Buckley, who won his U.S. Senate race against this Goodell guy, Charles Goodell, in the 70s. So that's one thing. But the right message. We cannot forget how this whole thing happened in the first place. There was not a primary. The right message here would indict the way party bosses, Republican Party bosses, and these big thinkers, like Newt, screwed the whole thing up from the get-go.
It's Newt's fault. Yeah, really. Newt's. You know, this just proves what kind of people right-wingers are. Rush has his millions now, but by God, back in 1994, he was more than willing to get on his knees and do for Newt whatever was necessary to be vaulted in the opinion and esteem of the Republican Party as the hard, weird, cancerous right-wing took control of the House of Representatives. But now he's got his millions, his $40 million a year, his 24,000-square-foot mansion with a cat. I wonder if that cat gets frequently replaced. I wonder if Rush has a hinged jaw. Nah, his face would never appear on a spaceship up over Manhattan or anything saying, "My friends, do not be afraid. We come in peace." Nobody believed it. But now that he's got that, and he thinks he's something, well, it's a different story altogether, isn't it? And he can go after Newt. After Newt, by God, made him. Sweet, huh? So that's it for prayer meeting, everybody. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. I know I did. Great conversations. Oh, by the way, I'm informed in the chat room that the Cold River Mountain photos are indeed already on the web. Just go to ovec.org, ohvec.org, click galleries, click mountaintop removal. You'll find them. You'll find them. Hope you'll be around to join us tomorrow evening. Looking forward to it. Thanks to everybody who helps keep the horn going. We wouldn't be lost without you. We'd be non-existent without you. It is November. We're back into the grind of trying to scrounge up another $2,000. We are about $1,750 away, 4 days into the month. And we can always use your help. Thanks for your phone calls, your emails, your participation in the chat room. Thanks to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch, Sue, Lottie, Jean, Susan, Betsy, and everybody who helps make the horn what it is. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Certainly do fly by, don't they? Here we are, it's the 4th of November 2009, the old year limps toward its sad, sorry end, as is so often the case. In this case, it's a limping to a sad, sorry end because we haven't gotten much of anything done this year. We liberals, we progressives, not for want of trying, but for the mere existence of that apparently terrifying group known as Republicans. Frustrating, ain't it? But it has been, I don't know. It's... Oh, we did get something done. Oh, we certainly did. That race that was supposed to go to the Republican Party yesterday up in New York's 23rd Congressional District, you know, the congressional district that hadn't elected a Democrat since, the Grant administration. There's going to be a Democrat in that seat now. Yay, teabaggers! Go team! I told you! More teabagging, please! And as predicted, the California 10th race went just as we thought it would. A real, live, honest-to-God liberal in that seat. For the first time in some time. Not some blue dog middle of the roader. So, yeah, we're getting some stuff done. It's a little frustrating watching us still trying to... God, we should have had health care solved. Well, who am I kidding? Decades ago. Half a century ago or more. But, you know, that's how it works out. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Because, you know, it's... The weeks do fly by. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week already. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, bang, here. And it's a little mind-boggling. The older I get, the faster the days go. I think if one had one of Kurt Vonnegut's Triumphalorians handy, he might explain it as time being relative. You know, the nearer you are to your relatives, the slower time... No. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. No. But no, it's Wednesday. But it's not just the middle of the week. It's not just hump day. It's not just downhill to Friday. No, no. Brethren and sistren, it is Wednesday. It is prayer meeting night on the horn. Hallelujah, glory, choir master. If you please, brother...
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hallelujah! Amen. Ooh, you are ting tang, walla walla, bing bang, hut sut, Ralston on the roller, on the real raw. I love you. Calm down. The blood-red aisle here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren, fall upon your knees at the altar where sits the great server of rationality. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer attached thereto and feel the rays of common sense shaking you to your bones. Glory, glory, glory. Yes. It is prayer meeting night right here on the horn. Oh, and we've got a grand start for us this evening, brethren and sistren. We have been blessed, hallelujah. Yes, we have been blessed. We have been blessed by the words of Brother Kenneth Hutcherson. You remember Brother Kenneth Hutcherson, don't you? If you're a fan of the gone but not forgotten and perhaps someday to be resumed strictly confidential right here on the horn, hosted by the world's once and future greatest and onlyest LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold, you will remember the stories of Brother Kenneth Hutcherson. It was Brother Kenneth Hutcherson up in America's great Northwest who was encouraging his flock to buy shares of Microsoft stock and donate it to him, Brother Hutcherson, so that he personally, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, could take over the demonically inspired Microsoft and make it a force for Christ in the world and quit giving them same-sex benefits to the working peoples there that are possessed with the demon of homosexuality. Yeah, that Kenneth Hutcherson. Woohoo! Nutbag! Cuckoo! You remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons? Where something just really daffy, wacky would happen. Daffy was a character. Something really wacky would happen, and Bugs would hold up a card with a screw on it, and then he'd hold up a card with a ball on it. Yeah, screwball! Yeah. Kenneth Hutcherson is a former NFL player, and apparently, as we now know, one of the big problems with being a player in the NFL is the fact that it is almost impossible to close out an NFL career without just, you know, a whole bushel basket load of traumatic brain injuries that rattles your mind, makes you not think quite so good no more. Apparently, Reverend Kenneth Hutcherson took several blows to the head. But he's about to get some love. He's about to